Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John's Gospel, the 18th chapter. We will pick up where we left off last Sunday. Last week we touched on the first verse. Always remember, as we continue, this is the 34th message in this series of messages. That's quite a series, isn't it? Uh-oh. That won't work quite as good, will it? Interesting. That's why you buy cheap ones. $9.95. Okay. So we'll do this the hard way. There's an easy way and a hard way. We'll do it the hard way. That's okay too. Now remember, if you would, that this series is all under the canopy of the truth from Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you folks, but don't you need rest? I mean, it's not just a physical thing. We're dealing with so much information today and so many things that there aren't good answers for. It really weighs down on us. At least it does on me. Maybe it doesn't you. Well, this week we will see the inauguration of a new president. Everybody is in tension. I think everybody is hopeful. My Bible says that we are to pray for those who are in authority, whether we like them or not. Whether you are of their political persuasion or not, we are called as God's people to pray for our leaders. We should do that, believing that the gospel would continue to go forth. You know, it's in jeopardy in many places. But we need his rest. And he tells us how to find that rest. It is in learning from him. The reason I'm doing that is because it's from or of. The preposition is either way. Him. Because both are very important, that we learn from him, but we also learn of him for the benefit of our lives. Understand this. He does not promise us rest just because we ask for it. He promises us rest as we learn from and of him. Young people, remember that. When you're troubled, when you're in distress, when you're in difficulty, and you don't know which way to turn, it is not just about getting down on your knees and praying, "Oh Lord, help me, I need your rest, I need your peace." No, it is about turning to what he has given to us and learn about him. And then as we learn about him, it's so that we can add who he is into our life and our journey. How many realize that the Lord wants to affect your life? He doesn't want you to just know about him. He wants to affect our lives. And the only way that that can happen is if we learn about him and then we incorporate those things into our lives. I know many folks, you know, we walk with the Lord for a long time, but then we forget. We forget what we've learned about him. Come on. We forget that he has told us to cast our cares on him. We forget that He has compelled us to walk as He walked. Now, this passage this morning, you'll see under the, it will be under the heading in your Bibles probably of Jesus arrested. And probably most of you have read, studied, heard this many, many times in your life. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give us something fresh this morning from this passage. Are you willing to receive it? Let me see if we can read it together here from my impaired vision. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus... There it went. Jesus had offered often, here we go, met with his disciples there. I must be better off to do it by memory. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you're looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the word he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had the sword, drew it and struck the high priest's ear. The high priest's servant. See, this is where your brain goes beyond what you can't see. Cutting off his right ear, the servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put that sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Lord, help us this morning as we examine your word, as we let it sink into our hearts and affect our lives. Have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. As we examine this morning, we're going to look at three parts of it because time will not permit us to go deeper. There's more. But there are discipleship truths that are in here. There's obedience. There is yielding and understanding the will of the Lord. And there's assurance that are all found for us right here in this passage. That's exciting to me. Because these are all huge things for our lives. Walking in obedience to the Lord assures us that we can be on the path that He is on. It's not about right and wrong, folks. Hear me this morning. It's not about right and wrong as you and I step in faith with the Lord. It is about walking in the best way that He has chosen for us. He knows the best way. Sometimes it's the more difficult path. Sometimes it's the easier path. Sometimes it's hard in the beginning, but it's going to be easier for us in the long run. And we can't see what's down the road. All we can see is right now, well, that's going to be harder for me to do that. But obedience will take us in the best place, to the best place, and to the best end in our lives. Knowing and understanding the will of God is powerful. You know, I know sometimes we stress over knowing and understanding and doing the will of God, but I don't think He's made it difficult for us. We make it difficult for ourselves because we want to know the end in the beginning, and we want to know the steps along the way, and He is a God of today for His people. Look at how He dealt with Israel. You can tell that. He was a man of God. How many know what I'm talking about when I say He's a man of God? You know, manna means what is it? It does. But it came every morning. And they looked out and they said, what is it? And then they began to deal with it and they learned that there was nutrition in it that would carry them through their lives. There's so many things that God brings into our path that if we will just let Him be God, yes, it's going to be different maybe than what we would have chosen for ourselves. But then doing it His way will nourish us and strengthen us. And you know, do you know that their shoes didn't even wear out? Now that's some pretty good stuff. If your shoes don't even wear out, you know, you take in the food of the Lord and you live on that food and you walk in its strength, but your shoes don't even wear out. Now that was pretty cool. And for all of the guys, it says that their strength had not abated. For all of us old guys in here, we go, yes, sounds good. You know, we need to understand that the will of God is moment by moment, day by day, decisions before the Lord, and then His will be done. How many times we have to convince ourselves? Huh? May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not praying so that God will do His will. Hello? That's praying so that we will let His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our... hear it? It's going to happen today. Oh, and then there's this blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It is living every single day realizing I am His. When stuff comes our way, I'm still His. When storms come, I'm still His. When I don't understand, I'm still His. Hallelujah. Now let me show you how it unfolds here. First of all, if you will notice in verses 2 and 3. Oh man, I can't see this crazy thing. We'll make it work. It says now, Judas who betrayed him. No. They won't be the right flavor, I'm sure of it. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Now what are you going to do? You'll sit back there blind. Now Judas who betrayed him knew the place. Man, that says a lot. You see, what it says to us is that Jesus knew where He would be found. He didn't hide. Now, come on, which of us, if we knew that we were going to be falsely accused, if we were going to be drugged before the magistrate in the middle of the night, which was illegal, the whole thing being a sham, we're not talking about a legal trial or any of that. We're talking about the whole thing a hoax. So He knew what they were doing. They were doing it in the middle of the night because they had no standing to do it. As a matter of fact, He says to them in another place, I believe it's in Luke's gospel, He says to them, why didn't you come for me when I was standing in the temple? Why didn't you come and collect me there? You come to me in the middle of the night with clubs and torches, and you come to me like I'm causing a ruckus. Like that. He was right where He knew He would be found. It says Judas knew where He would be that night because they had gone there often. Now you see, that speaks something to my heart, because once He had His experience in the garden that we talked about last week, once He wrestled through to understand that this cup was His to drink. Once He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, that was the end of the struggle. And then from there, it was simply obedience to what happened next. because he was in the hands of his Father. Come on. Can you see the power that is in that for us, church? We first get down before the Lord and we ascertain that we are in the center of His will and His purpose. That is, that there's no sin that has separated us from God. You see, there's nothing wrong for a saint to confess the sin that may be in their lives. Because you will come to understand that sin, even in the believer's life, separates them from God. So when we entertain sin in our lives, whatever that sin may be, it causes a separation between us and the Lord. As a matter of fact, we are so assured in this that, you know, those times where you feel like there's a distance between you and God? Or is it just me? Am I the only one that ever feels that? Okay. You know, when we feel that, what should be our response? We need to go have a Gethsemane. We need to go and get before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but show me. Show me what's in between us. What is separating us? What sin is in my life that is keeping me from feeling close to you? Now, there are times we don't always walk on the mountaintop. Sometimes we walk in the valleys. That's how you get through the journey, okay? But see, once we have confessed our sins and we reckon with His Word that says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and our conscience and His Spirit does not convict us of any sin, then we can set the sin thing aside. Hello? Praise God! We can set the sin thing aside. Because once we confess it, once our heart is pure and open before Him, we can set the sin thing aside and realize, okay, that part is gone. Then we can begin to reckon, okay, God is going to do something and is doing something in my life. And you come to grips, you go, I may not like it. But what I know is He's taking me someplace where I could not go except that I went through this valley. And there's a mountaintop that awaits. And obedience to the plan that God has is power. I said, obedience to the plan that God has is power. Evidence number one. If Jesus would have gone off and hid, they'd have never found Him. Think back with me. Turn back the clock just a little bit. He goes to His hometown of Nazareth. Sets down in the temple. Takes the promise of God from the book of Isaiah. Opens it up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. To heal the sick. Raise the dead. Puts it back down and says, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He's wanting them to know He's the guy that Isaiah was talking about. But within a very few minutes, they were so upset because He identified Himself with God that they led Him out. Now, Nazareth was built on a hill, but it had a cliff. And they led Him out to the edge of the cliff and were going to throw Him off of the cliff. It would all have been over right there. But my Bible says He walked right through the midst of them and went on His way. So in other words, He could hide in plain sight. He could have stood right there and they wouldn't even seen that He was there. Now that's a superpower that we could all enjoy, right? His purpose wasn't fulfilled. You know, listen, folks, when you are about the will of God and the purposes of God, you and I do not have to worry about what the world or somebody else can or will do to us. We have superpowers. Power of invincibility. The power to stand our ground, to not be ashamed, to not run and hide. You don't have to run and hide if you are walking in obedience to the will of God, because you are in the right place at the right time and God will take care of you. Jesus said to the other disciples, come on, let's go to Gethsemane. Let's go to the place where Judas knows where I'll be. So when Judas was bringing those guards and everybody and all the madness and the foolishness that was going on, he took them right to the place where he knew Jesus would be. Can I tell you this morning, he's still not hiding. Hello? I said he is still not hiding today. He said, I go to my Father. And then he taught them how to pray, our Father who art in heaven. He's in heaven. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Oh, wow! So that means that where he is, I get to be. Now, come on. Philip says, well, how can we know the way? He said, hold on, don't worry about it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me, and I'll bring you right to where I am. You see, we don't have to search for Jesus. You do not have to search and wonder where will Jesus be. He says, come unto me. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. He's not hiding. He's not trying to keep himself from you. He's ready to touch you, to minister to you, to be in your life. Your and my challenge is to be obedient to the will of the Father in our lives. Oh, and by the way, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. Fellowship. So in other words, we don't have to go searching for him. He's looking for us. He's knocking at the door of our hearts. I believe even this morning. You think, well, how can I find Jesus? Just let him in. He wants to come into us. You know, we've talked about this before, and I think it's a powerful, powerful thing when we realize that when we accept Jesus into our lives, he comes into us. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, wherever you are, I'm right here. If you've invited him into your heart, he's not a long way away. He's in you. Paul said it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Wow! Well, because Jesus is here. How many have Jesus here in you today? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You see, Jesus knew where he could be found. And I believe he wants us to know where he can be found this morning. The second piece was this. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. And it wasn't a fun thing that he got to look forward to. He told his disciples early on, he said, the Son of Man will be arrested, falsely accused, die, and rise again on the third day. Now, how many would love to have that as you walk through your adult life to know that that was part of your journey? No, that was his. It would sober you, wouldn't it? It would focus you. And then as the sins of the world were laid down upon him there in that garden, and as he tried to scooch from under them, and yet his willingness and his desire to do the will of the Father was greater than his desire to escape what he was facing, he yielded to it. And once he yielded to it, then it all began to open up. You see, he predicted this hour. He knew it was going to happen. He awaited this hour. He says, I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. He knew his purpose. I talked to you last week about understanding and knowing the purpose of God for our lives. You can do it. You can know the purpose of God for your life and then be about it. I love those words of the Apostle Paul, and as I realized that there is a shorter distance to the end of my journey than there is to the beginning, I mean, the chances of me living 120 are pretty slim. But the realization, Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Finished the course. That appointed course that God has set out for our lives. You see, folks, in this life, there are many things that we can concern ourselves with. But as the redeemed of the Lord, our greatest concern should be the course that God has for our lives. Lord, I know what I would like to do with my life, but what do you want me to do with my life? I've always been amazed at the number of people who, you know, would share with me along the way in my journey. They would say to me, well, you know, just do this. And of course, I would say to them, well, I'm trying to follow the will of God in the circumstance. Yeah. Nobody will understand the journey that God has you on as you step into His path. Because unfortunately, He doesn't tell everybody around, okay, now this is Bill McKee's journey. This is what I have for Bill McKee. He doesn't even tell family members that often. You just have to walk it. That's difficult. And yet, can I tell you, folks, you, just like me, God has a course for our lives, just like He had a course for the life of Jesus. And Jesus' willingness, His understanding of the course that God had set Him on, that the Father had set Him on, was being proven during this time. He's stepping into it. Can I say this, and I believe that this is absolutely true. If there was ever a day where you and I were going to get on course with God, it needs to be this day. I mean, how many believe we're living in the last days? Prove it. Prove it. What's the difference? What's the difference between people who believe that they're living in the last days and people who don't? Should there be a difference? You answer the question. I believe there should be a difference. I believe that our life should look different. I believe that our life apart from that knowledge and our life with that knowledge should be different. If I believe that the Lord Jesus is coming back soon, then there should be some things in my life that are different than they would be if I did not have that understanding or that desire. You have to decide. I decided. Jesus decided that the will of God was the will that he wanted to follow. I love that old spiritual song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Huh? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. What's this? No turning back. No turning back. See, that was Jesus. You want to learn from him? That was Jesus. It is deciding to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. I have watched my entire life, even beyond my days of pastoring, I've watched this in my entire life as people grew just white hot with the things of God. They couldn't serve God enough. They couldn't do enough for God. And then circumstances of life and this person saying this little thing or that person's, my goodness, folks, if I would have stopped when people were saying bad things about me, I would have stopped a long time ago. Instead, I got a neat little plaque that is up there in my office. It says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. You can't worry about what other people think your journey should look like. Get in touch with the Lord. Get to know what His will is for your life. And get on with the business of it. Just like Jesus. You see, Judas was betraying Jesus because he couldn't understand what Jesus was doing. You know that? He could not understand why Jesus was not becoming the King of Israel right there before his eyes. He would have never betrayed him if Jesus would have stepped into that role. He could not get past the fact that Jesus was not fulfilling what Judas knew that Jesus could do. What Judas was not taking into account was that it wasn't time for Jesus to sit down on the throne of Israel. There will be a day. You know, it hasn't happened yet. And many, many people, they're waiting for the Lord Jesus to overcome all the darkness of this world before they will step in and follow Him. What does it take for you to follow Jesus? I mean, really follow Jesus to where it is His will be done, whatever that looks like. But what if he? If He sends you to China, He'll teach you the language. He'll give you power that you've never had before. Everybody's always worried that if they sell out to the Lord, He's going to send them to China or Africa. Oh my goodness. Hey, did you know that today, 2016, that there are more people who are being persecuted for the gospel than in any other generation? I just heard the statistics this morning. 1 in 12 Christians are in a persecution situation. We could go all over the world and see that. You know, it cannot be whether we're living in comfort. It's got to be whether we're following the King of the Ages. You see, there are people in North Korea this morning that are hiding because it's against the law to worship Jesus. There are people in Sudan this morning that are worshiping together at threat of their very lives because the regime that is in control of that area says you cannot worship Jesus, and yet they're worshiping Jesus. They're doing the will of the Father. Some of them, oh my goodness, this one really gets us. Some of them are losing their lives over it. What? You mean He won't protect us and keep us from losing our lives? No, but when you lose your life, every prayer that you've prayed and the cries of your heart will be stored under the throne of God and will cry out to Him for justice until justice comes upon the earth. And you will be welcomed with great fanfare in heaven if you give your life for the cause of Christ. You see, we've got to reshape our priorities. We've got to reorganize our thinking to come and learn what Jesus said. Jesus knew all that was going to happen to Him, and yet He continued to walk in it. He yielded to it in obedience to the will of the Father. Why? For Himself? No, for us. Oh. Thirdly, Jesus knew who He was. He knew who He was. I love it. He said, well, Duh. You see, when the wrestling of prayer is past and the confidence of God's will was in its place, Jesus took his stand in peace. They came looking for him, and it says he went out to them. Now, you're in a garden. Actually, it was a vineyard. More than likely, this was a shelter that was built in the vineyard for the harvesters to come in out of the sun and find rest. If it wasn't harvest time, that shelter would be sitting there empty. And so apparently, he had found that place to be a good place to meet with his disciples. They could sit and talk, and no one would disturb them. And so they're inside that shelter, whatever it looked like. And as these men came with their torches and their lanterns and their swords, it says he went out to them and said to them, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." There's a great significance to that, both in his asking and in their telling. In their asking, they were looking for the man who had been born, who had been the carpenter's son, who had taken upon himself to be a teacher in Israel. They were looking for a man that they could dispose of, that they could take to a mockery of a trial in the middle of the night and dispose of him and get him out of the way because he was disturbing the flow of what they thought should take place. He stepping to the door, asking them, "Who are you looking for?" Because you see, he had been among them and he had identified himself as Messiah. He had identified himself as teacher, and they had even called him teacher. You see, they could have come in the middle of the night and said, "Where's the teacher? Where's the one who calls himself the Messiah?" But no, they were looking for a man. A man who they had surmised to be out of place and out of touch. Jesus was looking for faith. Jesus was looking for someone in that crowd. Perhaps even Judas, to speak out and to say, "You're the Son of the living God." Do you remember, kind of rewind a little bit back in your scripture, remind yourself of when there was all kinds of things going on and Jesus took his disciples apart and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" "Oh, some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're Isaiah. Some say that you're John the Baptist." And then he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter speaks up and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responds, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Woo! I'm going to end it there because Simon got in trouble after that. Do you understand? When Jesus stepped out of that shelter and confronted those men, he was giving them an opportunity to have an expression of faith, even in that moment, to say, "You're a teacher, you're the Christ." No, Judas had told them, "He's Jesus of Nazareth." You know, it's easier for us to see Jesus as just another man. It's more convenient for us, if we're not really wanting to serve him wholeheartedly and completely, for us to diminish his image. But he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew exactly who he was. Wise men know. Wise men know. They come from afar to celebrate his kingship. Wise men are still turning to him today to acknowledge that he is the Son of God. And can I just stick this on as an addendum? He not only knows who He is, He knows who we are. He knows our hearts. He knows our pursuits. He knows our journey. You know, we can dress, we can come and sit in this house, and we can fool most every single person in here. But the Lord knows us today. He knows right where we are. He knows what our journey looks like, who we're following. And He knows who we are. Does He know you this morning as a child of a King? Does He know you as the redeemed? Just think about this for just a second, and I'm going to say the amen. But listen to me. Just think about when He addressed the end. Remember what He said. Come on, think about it. He said, "I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you." Huh? "But Lord, we've prophesied in your name. But Lord, we've cast out devils in your name. But Lord, we've done this in your name. I've taught Sunday school and I served on the board. I did. But you never knew me." Are you walking the path that the Lord has laid out for you? Are you living your life out in obedience to His will? Are you known by Him and, I would say, by the world, that you are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. Can you hear what He's trying to teach us this morning? He wasn't ashamed to be found to bring redemption for you and I. He was not ashamed to be obedient to the will of the Father. He wasn't ashamed to be known for who He was. What about us?